Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hiya.
Hi. On the show is BJ Shay. There's the namesake right over there.
Why, I oughta.
And running the boards is Joey D.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk with Gareth von Kallenbach about all sorts of cinema news. We will talk about episode 5 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
It's
going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, as well as Odyssey, which is our new app. So, if you had radio.com, it is now Odyssey.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
There you go.
Nice. That's a good way. I like your sultry radio voice when you do that, BJ.
Thank you.
Okay. No.
T-H-A-A-N-K-A-O-Y-O-U-M-O-U.
M-O-U-S-E.
Vicky don't like me.
Moving on from whatever the hell that was,
right?
Let's talk with our good friend Gareth von Kallenbach, because like I said, there is some cinema news that needs to be told. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed In Review, that is SKNR.net. And Gareth, lots of movie news we've been talking about recently, but some big stuff is going to be happening this year, including something called Cinema Week, right?
Yeah, and this was a rather interesting thing because it kind of came out of nowhere without a lot of fanfare. And essentially what is happening is that the major exhibitors around the world are teaming with various theatrical chains. I mean, you know, Regal, AMC, Cinemark, so on and so forth. And what they're doing is a week-long series of activities in June. And the whole idea behind it is to jumpstart the cinema-going experience, to essentially tell the public, we're back. We're not going to be pushing these films back forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is June. The you're going to get some summer blockbusters. We are going to start cranking out the films on a regular basis. It is safe to go back to the theaters under the, you know, the current guidelines and stuff, and we're going to make it more appealing to you. And what we've been told is they're very thin on details, but what we've been told is things like special merchandise, you know, maybe collectibles in addition to soda cups and popcorn tubs will be sold at the theaters. We have been told that there will be special events. Now people are saying, are they going to be doing special screenings? Are we going to see things like, you know, marathons of Marvel films, of Star Wars films? But then other things we're hearing is that there will be celebrity events. And by that, at screenings, you might see directors, writers, producers, stars of the film showing up right before movies saying, hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you watching our film, blah, 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 that sort of thing. There, you know, so all we know is special merchandise and apparently celebrities or VIPs coming. But beyond that, we don't know.
And at this point in time, you're looking at, and this is kind of like in the kind of the L.A. Hollywood type area, right? Because, I mean, we've seen this before in the past with, like, when we still had the Cinerama in Seattle, like, you know, the special screenings of, like, Firefly and stuff where, like, Alan Tudyk showed up, because I remember Vicky going to that. Are they still just kind of concentrating on that area, or do you feel that this is going to be more of a widespread thing depending on, like, states and stuff?
They're saying worldwide.
Okay.
So, you know, they're all in, and that's the thing. And of course, you know, there is a trickle down effect to this. As we've mentioned, CinemaCon moved to August, mm-hmm. and this is in June. So essentially what it seems like they're doing is they're going all out, getting the public back in the theaters. And that way, when they do the delayed CinemaCon, they can say, okay, folks, you know, here we are, we're the big studios. And you've now seen that we did our part in June and people are starting to come back to the theaters. And this is what we've got for you going forward.
Fair enough. It's pretty interesting with that. And then, I mean, kind of leaning in with that as well is we've gotten some Fast 9 news as well, correct?
Correct. Now, as we all know, this was due to come out last year, and like mm-hmm. pretty much everything under the planet, especially those with any kind of budget, it was pushed back a year until the time they felt it was safe to resume theaters. We've already been told that there will be at least one more Fast and Furious film. I believe the plan was to wrap it up at 10 films, but they've also said we're going to have all sorts of spinoffs coming down the line. Now, what is interesting is we've had a rush of trailers. We've had two trailers come out already for it. And it seems that Universal is pretty much full ahead on putting the film out this summer. Well, news came out a few days ago that really pushed it home, saying that they've already committed to a China and various overseas markets, and they are getting it a good 5 weeks before the United States.
Wow. Is that something like, are they just like, is it something along the lines of just like China's ready for this? Or is it just like, I don't even know why they would do this.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, you have to look at the whole box office. There was a time when the box office was North America and Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. And anything else you got along the way was all bonus. And that was largely from the United States. Well, then China became this massive player in the game. And you started to see countries that never had first run theaters of note into the mix now do. So now the overseas is bringing in the bigger bucks in many cases. So, you know, 5-7 years ago, you started to see films like, I remember some of the Marvel films, some of the Battleship, like Battleship, things like that. It was not uncommon to have certain films open a week, 10 days, 5 days overseas before they opened in the United States. And now you're seeing a look of, this is odd in that it's 5 weeks. I mean, I can remember certain British films or foreign films that, yeah, might have been out in their own countries for months ahead of release in the United States. This is a different thing. This is not a, you know, a film adaptation of a popular TV show in a specific country. This is a major, big budget, theatrical film that's expected to do exceptionally well. To say it would come out a week, maybe 2 weeks ahead of time wasn't a surprise. 5 weeks is very interesting. And the way I see it is, I think they're looking at it as saying, these are the places that we know that we can probably draw a large audience right now. And by doing this, not only are we getting money, we're building the hype. And we can go to people and say, look at all these people. They've already gone and seen it. They're not having problems. Everything's fine. Everything's safe. Go to the theaters. Don't miss out. See it on the big screen.
And I think that's kind of the thing as well. I mean, if you just imagine the FOMO when it comes down to it, the fear of missing out. And it's like, yeah, everyone's seeing it in this theater. It had a huge opening in China, which you might be like, well, that's what they're doing and whatever. But there's a lot of people, I mean, myself included, that have, you know, it's like, oh, the hype is going. And now it's making me want to go see this in the theaters. And especially something like the Fast and Furious series, where it's about that theatrical experience, getting those bombastic special effects and all that amazing stunt work in on the big screen with that sound system and everything. It's just something else entirely.
Oh, exactly. And see, you know, and I remember the ones that we've seen since we've been here. They went from doing them in the standard theaters to, we had a recent one at an IMAX. And, you know, you're sitting here watching, and I remember the one, I think it was two films ago, where they had the gigantic, you know, scene where they chased the plane. And my wife leaned to me and said, exactly how long is that runway? Because they've been going at that thing for about 10, 15 minutes. You know, they should be. And I'm like, all right, but see, that's the whole thing. You're not supposed to ask questions like that. And,
no.
You know, the last one, the spinoff, we saw on a standard size screen. Doesn't matter. It was still, you know, you're just sitting there shaking your head going, this is just so ridiculous. It defies all the laws of logic. And you know what? But they're so earnest in how they deliver it, you just keep watching going,
all right,
how outrageous are they going to be next? And it's still entertaining. And that's, you know, and I think that's the thing. I think there's been all this talk that people are ready. People want to get out and have a communal experience. And so now the trick is basically getting to them and say, you know, it is safe for you if you know, to put your mask on and sit in a theater for a couple hours with, you know, the filters going and all of that good stuff. enjoy this film.
Yeah.
And that's what they're essentially trying to say.
Absolutely. And now also finally finishing this up with our movie chat and kind of getting into the video game stuff. Ubisoft has talked about maybe getting into television and films as well.
Yeah, they've been actually involved and they're ramping it up. Some of the recent examples is the very popular Mythic Quest, which involves Mac and Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Megan Gans. They finished their first season. They had a pandemic special and they just put out a very, very good special the other day. The new season is coming. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but I have seen it, and it is produced by Ubisoft. We talked briefly in the past about the deal they have with Netflix, where they've talked about Assassin's Creed content coming to Netflix. There is supposedly a Division movie coming to Netflix. I know of another, let's just say, also under embargo, but let's say coming to a streaming service involving another popular, long-running Ubisoft franchise. Oh. And now we also have them branching out in a more traditional thing. We got a trailer in for a movie called Werewolves Within, and it's going to be out in theaters in September, and it is an R-rated, as they refer to it, horror whodunit.
Interesting. And just the fact that it's got werewolves in the title kind of makes me excited, because you don't see a lot of good werewolf movies. I think it's one of those things as a horror fan that you kind of miss out on a lot, so it'll be interesting to see what's going on with that.
Exactly. And it's kind of the tipping point, because we had talked before about why so many video game movies are bad. And it's largely due to the fact that you can license the name, but there's severe restrictions on story and look and so on and so forth. And the old thought was, well, if we have the title Doom, all the Doom fans are going to come. And then when they see the movies are bad, then they look away. Now you're starting to see the film studios themselves be much more active in the production of their product. They're not so quick to just say, all right, let's cut a deal for licensing and we'll give the script a quick glance and yeah, this is fine. All right, we're okay with the director. Go do it. Now they're basically essentially opening up their own divisions and saying, we're going to do it ourselves in partnership with established people, and I think you're going to see better quality product from it.
Wouldn't it be nice to actually have a chance to see a video game movie and then be like, yes, I saw that, and I did like it.
case in point, look at Castlevania and Witcher. We've started to see better quality adaptations.
Absolutely. Gareth, thank you so much again. Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. We talked movies now, but you can get video games, television, all sorts of different things if you go to SKNR.net. Thank you, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And if you're listening to this on Friday, the April of 23rd, you may have already watched the final episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
No spoilers. I know.
We have not.
Only six episodes? No.
I know. I kind of expected there to be more, but that was just the assumption, because I assumed that they would have at least like a 10 or 8 episode arc. WandaVision had 9 because they wanted 10, but because of COVID, they couldn't. But this was set out to be 6 episodes the entire time. So last week, we had the penultimate episode, Truth, which, first off, started off with an amazing fight between John Walker, Bucky, and Sam. That was so cool.
It was...
Yes.
I don't want to say heartbreaking, but there was so much emotion to that fight. It wasn't just throwing punches. It was, oh, you want this shield? Like, I am Captain America. And to the point where, you know, John Walker almost kills again with that shield.
Yeah, he was getting ready to.
Wyatt Russell, the actor, is doing a tremendous, tremendous job. I mean, he really, really is. Because to be able to take that character who we want to hate, in so many ways we want to hate that character.
And so many people do.
Like, he's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy, but, you know, I have empathy for him
and
what he's going through. And that's great acting from Wyatt. No
he
doubt
is
about it.
He's the son of Kurt Russell, so
I didn't even realize
family.
That.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
He's the son of Kurt Russell?
Mm-hmm.
God, he does. Yeah, he looks just like the guy now that you bring
now
it up.
Now that you actually look at it, right?
I saw a post or an article, and they had the picture side by side of each other. I'm like, oh, nope, that's definitely his son.
I totally didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
And that's Goldie's kid, too? Because they've been, Kurt and Goldie have been together forever.
Yes, that is Goldie Hawn's son.
Wow.
So the sister, because we know that Kate Hudson is also their kid, right?
Not Kurt Russell's.
Oh. Oh, you know
Kurt
what?
Russell is her stepfather.
Never mind. Of course, Hudson, I guess, would be the last name. You know what? Thank you, Vicky. The Hudson should have been the clue. Well, they're brother,
they're,
sister.
They're half siblings.
All right, then. Well, it's a family affair is what's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So it runs Russell? In their family why he's so talented.
Yeah, there is that.
It was a brutal fight that it progressed the story, too, because this whole thing has been about whether or not Sam Wilson will take Captain America's shield. And we found out even more so about it. I mean, when Sam talked with Isaiah Bradley about the fact that there would never be a black Captain America, it was the whole point of this entire thing was not even Sam Wilson was willing to accept that. And we didn't realize essentially why until really kind of Bucky spelled it out. Like both Steve Rogers and Bucky did know about the whole plan really all along. And it was like, oh, we didn't realize what it would mean, not for you to take the shield, but what it would mean for everybody else, like it should matter, but it ultimately absolutely does. So having to address that, but then finally being able to come to his own agreement for himself to be like, no, I want to be able to do this. But it had to start with that fight where he got his Falcon wings ripped right off, which was amazing looking, but also it was like, well, that's his identity as a superhero.
But
where's it going to go?
There was a very big part, and I did mention that I learned this information by watching TikToker Straw Hat, who, by the way, has been receiving a lot of hate because he said at the very beginning, this show is about race, and people are like, no, it's not. Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Anywho, but he mentioned that Joaquin Torres is actually the next Falcon in the comics.
Oh,
so that part where he's like, oh, what do you want to do with these? Like, keep them. That was, in a sense, him passing on the mantle.
Oh, and then Bucky hooked him up with a special Wakandan briefcase,
which we don't know what's inside.
No, it's got to be a suit.
That's what I was thinking,
too.
You mean
it's not the diamonds from Pulp Fiction?
Could be the diamonds from Pulp Fiction. You're very right. I hadn't thought about that either.
Last week when we were talking about this episode, I had mentioned that there was going to be a cameo from an
Academy Award winning
actress.
Or actor.
Yeah, and we didn't know that, and I guess I just kind of spoiled a little bit right there, because suddenly on screen we have Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What did she win an Academy Award for?
I don't know.
Veep, I think. Is that it?
Maybe.
No, Veep is not. That would be an Emmy. So you're talking Emmy
maybe
Award.
Maybe Emmy
winner.
Award, yeah.
She's won an Emmy for that. Yeah, I didn't know she won an Academy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Academy's movies, Emmy's TV.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I probably said the wrong one there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was so surprised because I didn't know. I didn't know she was going to be in it. I didn't even hear your clue. So I was really so like, is that Elaine? What?
I know, it's like Elaine Bennis is in now the MCU.
And she has
Veep?
She did win an Emmy as well for Seinfeld and Veep.
Oh, okay. So look at that. And so
she's so good too. I mean she played that role. Oh my God, she played Valentina so well.
And so so she's playing Valentina Allegra de la Fontaine.
Who is that? I don't know.
Essentially, in the comics she has played a woman named Madame Hydra.
Yes.
She's kind of like, it's seeming to be at this point, she's going to be possibly the Nick Fury of
the bad side.
Yeah, of what I'm going to call the anti-Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like John Walker, because obviously she came to him as, you know, the not Captain America.
Right.
And she's going to be building her own super team. And speculation is going everywhere with this. It's not as bad as like with what WandaVision was, but people are trying to see what she's going to be creating and who's going to be a part of this super, super bad team. We don't even know at this point.
And I think it kind of sucks because I read that her first appearance was supposed to be in the Black Widow movie.
Mm-hmm.
So her cameo, if you will, or her presence was supposed to be even more impactful. But it's lucky that she is who she is as an actress, because then people are like, oh, that's awesome.
Because at that point, you would have known who she is a little bit more, had some more information, because Black Widow was supposed to come out last year.
Yes.
Now it's coming out this year. So, and spoiler, we'll see her in it.
And even Falcon Winter Soldier was supposed to come out before WandaVision. So everything's kind of gotten a little screwy.
Yeah. They're playing with the timeline as best as they can with it. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes with that. We do have one more episode left. Like WandaVision, the last episode was one big giant fight, essentially.
Right.
They kind of did that fight in this last episode. I don't really know what this last one's going to be.
So one thing I didn't know, I noticed people kept talking about, and I didn't get what, I'm like, what are you referring to? Did I miss it while watching the show? Because, I mean, it could happen. I get distracted easily. But if you, anybody else watch the end credits?
Yes.
Because I had to go back and rewatch the show and the end credits to the scene where, with what John Walker, I keep wanting to say Wyatt Walker, John Walker was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Joe?
No idea.
Oh.
So in the end credits, they cut to him in his garage or somewhere, basically welding some stuff and welding his badges onto his own makeshift Captain America shield.
Yeah. Like, he's going to keep being
Captain America.
Like, even when during the whole scene, the trial of him, and they're just like, the way that he walks out and just disregards even their stuff. Like, you guys made me. I did what you told me to do, and now you're just going to throw me to the wolves. It's like, well, dude, you kind of went nuts. But
it's like a,
yeah,
it's
he
like,
don't see it that way.
He right. does have, like, you do empathize with him, but he is, you know, still a baddie. And it basically showed his privilege. It shows that he should have been punished a lot harder than he was.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that there are... I have my own theories. I don't want to throw them out there because I'll probably be wrong, like I have been with most everything else.
I kind of want to tell you the theory, the one I sent you.
Which one?
We discussed about Sharon Carter.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a rumor theory that goes along that villains are not allowed to use iPhones or Apple products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apple has stated that if you're a bad guy in a movie, you can't use an iPhone.
And when she was making some phone calls, she was not using an iPhone.
So, now,
maybe she's the power broker. Maybe Valentina's the power broker.
Or maybe it might be somebody else even higher up that we haven't seen for many years, many movies, going all the way back to an Incredible Hulk movie starring Edward Norton.
Abomination? Wow.
No. The man who made Abomination.
Was it Tim? No. Blake?
No, it was Thaddeus Ross. Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross.
Wow. And if you hear General Ross.
Yes, if you hear the Thunderbolt, that was his nickname. And if you look that up on the internet, maybe there was a group of anti-heroes called the Thunderbolts, led by Baron Zemo, including many other heroes of villainous descent who may or may not be the best people around, but maybe trying to get the quote-unquote job done. And now when we're in an Avengerless world right now, maybe we need a group of people to bring the Avengers back together to form up.
This throws me off because
I just threw out that theory.
He kind of looks kind of like the actor who played the older version of Tony Stark's dad. So it's throwing me off. I'm like, wait, no, that isn't Tony Stark.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the sixth episode. I didn't want to put out that fan theory, but you made me do it, and I'll probably be wrong. But here's
not,
me hoping.
We're not clinging to these fan theories like we were with WandaVision.
True.
We're just like, okay, these are fun to speculate about, but we're not clinging to them hoping for something amazing crazy to happen.
Yes, but I will tweet about how right I was if I was in fact right.
And that is your right.
Exactly. We'll see what happens with that, and let us know how you feel about how that happens. But right now, it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, what do you got, Vicky?
Casting news!
Oh, interesting.
I feel like a lot of shows, a lot of everything's just happening, and I'm just getting a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's confirmation or, you know, hey, this is a new thing. Like, we've known for a while. Like, we know Spider-Man 3, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a mess. And I think Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina might have been confirmed about a year ago, but Alfred Molina just recently came out, and he's like, you know, it's wonderful. It's he said it was a very interesting going back after 17 years to play the same role.
17 years?
Wow.
Given that in the intervening years, I now have two chins, a waddle, crow's feet, and a slightly dodgier lower back. But he seems really excited. Some people are worried, though. How is it going to affect that Spider-Man movie? Because, I mean, Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, we could all agree was...
Yeah, he was feeling himself.
I mean, sure. But yeah. I really loved his performance as Doc Ock. As somebody at that age, I was a teenager, I didn't know much about Doc Ock, but I fell in love with his performance, and I loved, you know, his story.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, Spider-Man, you know, he was in Spider-Man 2, so most people do feel good about Spider-Man 2. And so Doc Ock and Molina, I got no bad feelings about them, because 2 was good. 3, you know, yeah, if they try to bring anybody from 3 in there, that might be an issue.
We need to fire whoever's making that choice. That being said, like, some people are worried, how is this going to affect their timeline? Because, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen that movie, 17 years ago, he did not make it.
Oh.
So how is that going to alter their timeline?
Interesting. Like, I mean, they're obviously not going to go back and shoot that movie again, because that would be silly.
All kinds of shenanigans.
Yeah. And, like, that was a Sam Raimi one, right?
Yes.
Right.
And he's doing Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
So it kind of makes sense in those sort of terms. Like, maybe Sam's just like, no, that's fine. I don't even care. Like, I know it's going to open up all sorts of, like, weird wormhole, divergent timeline sort of things. I can only imagine.
It may not be. It may just be that, you know, that just like we saw in the Into the Spider-Verse animated series, they all exist, just it's all very different. And depending on which parallel universe you're going to go to, that's what I'm assuming, is that these Spider-Man will all be different incarnations from a different universe, which means, you know, Tobey Maguire's time 17 years ago could actually be now in our time, in his universe. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I mean. Like, he died.
Well,
no, but
so
I mean,
he's in now universe, like, you know.
Our now universe, though, could be their now universe before he died, is what I'm saying. Like,
but the thing is, Tobey Maguire looks older. Are they going to de-age him? Are they going to go with that method?
Yeah.
That probably can happen. That's a good question. So, I think they could de-age him, yeah.
They're mixing both multiverse stuff and also maybe timey-wimey things.
Yes.
Joe will love this one.
Hooray! Yeah.
I will personally make sure he is altered. We're going to go and get some drinks beforehand. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one, because I know that they're have been some quote-unquote leaks out there talking about maybe possibly the third act of Spider-Man No Way Home. And it's interesting how they might be trying to do this, and I might have spoiled myself, but I'm just assuming that they're not real at this point in time. But if you go out there searching for stuff, there are either theories or leaks.
Go to it.
If you want to ruin it for yourself. Like myself.
Yeah, de-aging's a way to go. Also, I mean, you know, Doc Ock wouldn't be the first person that looked like they died and then didn't die.
Ooh, that's true. See, we have to go back and watch it. Was there a body at the end?
That's it. And even if there was a body at the end, I mean, my God, Doc Ock in the comics died and then just went and lived in Peter's head for a while. So, I mean, you know, anything can happen.
And there's a million rumors surrounding this. Like, is Willem Dafoe coming back as Green Goblin?
Oh.
Is Charlie Cox going to be showing up as Matt Murdock?
I want this all. I want it all.
Really,
yes.
Do too.
The answer's all yes.
If I remember correctly, Doc Ock dies trying to save the whole city by collapsing the sun and then drowning in the water. So he doesn't actually get shown dying.
No.
See? Oh, look at you with that memory.
He fights against the little his robot arms.
Yes.
Because they want to do bad things, and he's like, no, we can't. We can't.
Yeah. See, and it's the one thing that I would have loved if they had decided to maybe bring back the Enter the Spider-Verse Doc Ock, because that was voiced by
Catherine Hahn.
Yes, who plays Agatha Harkness. I just think that they should just figure out a way to get every one of every villain to be Agatha, or at least be Catherine Hahn.
I definitely need an edible in order to be able to follow this.
We're
into
Washington,
the Hahn verse.
Yes.
Oh, God. Moving on to other, you know, also Marvel news, casting news. We know Marvel Secret Invasion is a thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they just
How do we know this? It's supposed to be a secret.
We know Game of Thrones star Emilia Clarke joins the show.
Oh, right. Secret Invasion.
Yeah, she has joined the cast. It's going to be a new Disney Plus show. And
have they said any sort of role yet?
Yeah, I wanted to be Sue Richards, but I guess that's not going to happen now.
Oh, interesting.
That would have been a good one.
That's a really good call. Yeah, we have never talked about having her as Sue Richards.
Well, we should.
And now you just have.
The Secret Invasion having to do with the Skrulls? Didn't the Fantastic Four have anything to do with that?
Well, I know that. Yeah, I don't. I remember Secret Wars, and so I don't know if Secret Invasion is a different thing because I don't. I'm not familiar with Secret Invasion unless they're just rebranding Secret Wars.
It's a newer thing that happened. I'll get more.
Oh, I don't know. See, now I don't know what that's about.
The story involves a subversive long term invasion of Earth by the Skrulls, a group of alien shapeshifters that we've known about them. And it looks like it was, the whole promotional tagline was, who do you trust?
So how do they do this with what we've learned from, the Captain Marvel movies about how the Skrulls aren't as bad as at least the comics? Are they going to turn around and do a little duplicity thing with this? I mean,
maybe some Skrulls are bad, some aren't.
And that's the one thing that is interesting in that, because we have seen a subset of Skrulls because they were refugees. Oh, we haven't seen the Skrulls as a whole. And they did kind of flip it and turn the Kree into the quote-unquote bad guys because they were the ones hunting the Skrulls. And the Skrulls were just trying to get away.
Like, are you trying to say that there are like a group of people where some could be good and some could not be so good? Like, you want to entertain that? We can't just stereotype
an entire
planet of people?
It might be a gray area.
I refuse to believe
I'm going
to
get real nerdy here in a minute.
Here we go.
So one of the things I find interesting is Runaways was a Marvel show that was on Hulu. It has since been canceled, which is kind of a bummer, although what's her face? Elizabeth Hurley's character in the second season was That being said, one of the big key plot lines in the comic was a character who was a Skrull set to marry one of them. And so they kind of touched on that a little bit, but I don't think they called them a Skrull. So I'm like, could the aliens from Runaways possibly have something to do with all this? Because
crossover.
And I mean,
I would like more Runaways.
Right. And I feel that they really kind of need to bring everything in. And they're trying to do that right now. It's such a massive undertaking to be able to do all this. It's fun to hear that they're moving forward with everything, and hearing that Emilia Clarke's going to be in it, it's very exciting. I'm really stoked to even find out what role she may be playing in it.
I love
Sue Richards.
She is basically dipping her toe into everything geeky.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I like it.
Until next time, stay nerdy.